Thank you, Diana. It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's a big weekend, a lot of activities going on, weddings happening in Tennessee. My dear friend, I don't see him out there, but Joe Bricky is marrying Michelle Seymour. Are you guys out there somewhere? All right, there they are, a beautiful couple back there. Yes. Mm-hmm. This morning, it's already been noted a couple times, but what we're attempting to do as a church, and we can't do it, but the Lord Jesus, I think, is doing it, is a trinity of things, a trinity of purpose. We call that TOP, and then it's TOP OPS. The OPS are oikos, a reach out to those that we know and love, but perhaps do not yet know the Lord. Often an oikos is a household, it's our family, it's those who are right in our vicinity, right next to us. And we encourage people to take 8 to 15 people, no more, and pray for them and seek the Lord for their welfare. I have another half-baked testimony about one of mine. I told you my brother was operated on for epilepsy, lifelong epilepsy. He just had some seizures a while ago. He said, if you understand this, he's had seizures almost daily for 40 or 50 years. For the last month, he hasn't had a seizure. His family is on my oikos list. We have a loving concern for them and a God who hears our prayers. Perhaps you have some stories, so we'll be looking for those testimonies, but TOP OPS, oikos, prayer, we can do nothing without his help. And then small groups, some place of intimacy, intimate fellowship, correct, appropriate, safe, but determined in our neighborhoods. This segment is our first part one of our six-point series, and it's called The Call Is For You. Live your calling. What on earth am I here for? Why are you alive? What is the purpose of your existence? We're going to struggle with presenting to you that issue, and then what am I supposed to do with my life? Well, there's good news. You have a purpose given you by God. You were called from before the foundation of the earth, and we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at some deep theology, touching in on it at least. We'll do the depth of it in another time. But what you need to know is you're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart for a holy calling. Here we go. In Romans 8:28, we have a scripture that we all lie on. We all hang our hats on it. It's, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And sometimes, some leave out, I always use it, but who have been called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. Called. To some people, the word called is irritating. Some of us are in jobs where every phone call we get, or 90% of them, are somewhat desperate. Some of my police officers or firemen or moms with aging parents, just different things. The phone is something dangerous to you. But in our case, the calling is from God is one we need to just love, wait for, hang on to, be determined to receive. Because those God predestined before the foundation of the world, he also called, that's you, and those who he called, he also justified. His children have been made just as if they've never sinned by a mighty act of God where he sent his son to die for sins, to take the sins of the whole world on himself and impute that righteousness to you. In God's sight, you are as pure as the driven snow, not in your own strength, not in your own doing, but in the mighty power of Almighty God who called you. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That means in a sense, a spiritual sense, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. But one day we will be made perfect. Our bodies will be renewed. We will dwell in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, where the city whose builder and maker is God. We will be there, and in some sense we will share his glory. These are big words, but we want to focus this morning on the word called. The word in Greek is kaleo. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament to describe God's purpose, his assignment, his reason for your life. It's used more than purpose, and it's not simply, it is, the word somewhat refers to vocation. In Latin, the word something like vocere, which goes towards also the word voice. It's the call of God in your life. He wants you to know what he's made you for. Today we weaken this to career. This is how we think about things. My job is my calling. We use calling to describe the fact that I worked in construction, or that I was in law enforcement, or that I worked in a legal office, or whatever it is. But your calling is much more profound than that, although that's an important piece of your calling. Your calling is hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus telling you day to day, moment to moment, what the next step is in an amazing plan he has to change and win his world. The Bible is the story of people answering God's call. There's Noah, hearing that the world was going to be destroyed and gathering people as the Lord Jesus Christ did so that he could save them, so that a new generation would be born. They would be baptized in the water and then expand to take over the earth. Abraham, called out of Terah, called by God to have many, a multiplicity of children, as many as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. Moses, who was told to take millions of people out of bondage and slavery, called, appointed, before the foundation of the world, they were created for a unique and special purpose. Samuel, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul. Now, how do we fulfill that calling? Well, in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, it says this, and here is our prayer. My prayer, Paul said, is that light will flood your hearts, and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God called you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. There are 8 things you need to know about your calling, and they'll be flashed up there on the screen. And I think you have something in your book if you like to write notes where you can type them in with your finger. My calling, number one, is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. It is given to me by his grace. And it's a good thing. It's a rich thing. It's a fabulous gift, and it's something he gives to you. It's a present. Galatians 1:16, and I'm not going to give the headings anymore. I'll just tell you, it says this: God, by his grace through Christ, has called you, and right now is calling you. If you don't know him, right now he's calling you to become his people. It is his undeserved kindness that he has come to us to draw him to himself. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this: he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. You were made for his purpose. You were called by his voice too. I'm called for God's purpose. God didn't make you for you. He made you for himself. It is his plan. And purpose. There we go. Not your plan that he wants to fulfill. Not your plan. You were made for something great. But in yourself, you can't find it. But because he's called you and drawn you with cords of love, he'll show you what the plan is. There were 2 brothers. They were twins, Jacob and Esau. One was the firstborn. That was Esau. The second one was Jacob, the son of his mother, beloved by his mom and dad. But especially Esau was loved by his father. God, in his providence, was going to switch things on them. He was going to deal a hand, but it wasn't the hand you normally got. As a firstborn child, you had a measure of inheritance. You were looked on with favor. Some would receive great amounts of money from the parents. Hopefully, they were trusting that child to be generous and distribute it to the family. But in this case, the tables were turned. If you remember the story, God made a choice. He shook things up. And he says that Jacob is the one
through whom the line leading to the Lord Jesus Christ will come. He had a plan and a purpose for them. Before the two boys were born, it says in Romans, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. This was before the boys had done anything, good or bad. God said this so one would be chosen because of God's own plan. He was chosen because he was the one God wanted to call, not because of anything he did. Well, if you're like me, I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for anything, and I'm not going to go through my testimony again. But I will say this. When I came to the University of Virginia, while I was there, I thought about the evangelicals I knew in 4 years, or at least at the beginning of my time there. I could have counted them on 2 or 3 hands, 10, 15, 20 people at the whole university. Now, that can't be true. It's impossible for that to be true, but they were hiding their light under a bushel, clearly, except for one individual and another one that came up the sidewalk the day I came to the school. He comes walking up, toddling up, and similar to many Christians, God bless you, he helped me move into my room. Well, he not only helped me move in, but he was my RA, the resident advisor, a slightly balding, a little overweight guy. He had been called and chosen to give out of his life, his name's Robin Marvin, out of his life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he had just run into an evangelical atheist. And with a foul mouth and a fouler mind. And I was his mission field. I became part of his oikos. But here's what it says. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It was his holy will and purpose to draw me to that one guy on that campus who could speak truth to me, who had the courage of a lion, who didn't care what I thought of him. He was going to tell me about his Jesus, and his life told me I was living a foul life. End of story. Truth. Now, this was a very irritating situation, but it was, as they say today, a God thing, prepared in advance. Number 3, God chose my calling not only at that place in life, but even before I was born, while I was being formed. It pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy, it says in Galatians. Then in Jeremiah, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Holy plans for you. There was a little boy whose father died of syphilis. His mother was a runaround of the first magnitude, and yet both those two people were leaders in a certain country. It's astounding. The rich do not evade problems and troubles and immorality. That's for sure. And this little boy, because they were too busy with their own self-centered lives, was shipped off to a private school. They'd done what they thought was right, except the private school was run essentially by a sadistic madman. And the boy was beaten all the time. All the time. And someone will say, well, where is the call and purpose in that? Why did that boy have to go through that, Bill? Well, I don't think he did. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, but not all things are good. And that wasn't good. But here's the thing. God is in the business of turning lumps of coal into diamonds. And God used the intense pressure and heat of that boy's life to put in his heart a certain defiance against evil. He became, some would say, the greatest man of the century, a man whose name was Winston Churchill. And the same defiance he used against an insane headmaster, he used against an insane world leader to our benefit. It was a little boy. I got to see his picture on Oprah on YouTube. I was told that he was on there. His name is Nick Vucicic. Anybody know who that is? He's 3'3", because he has no arms and no legs. He has a tiny little foot on one side and an even tinier foot on the other side. Apparently, with one of his feet, he can type 43 words a minute, or, according to him, if he's had two cups of coffee, 63 words a minute. But when he's given his talk, he's talking about adversity and calling and what he was made for. No arms, gone. No legs, gone. And this boy in a packed auditorium has a camera following him as he goes up the stairs, and I cannot possibly do justice to what he did. But this tiny mite hops up, stare to stare to stare, to say that nothing is impossible with God. From the age of about 0 to 10, he was persecuted by those in his classes, to the point where he considered committing suicide, even though he was raised in a loving home with godly parents who encouraged him every day, but the abuse was terrible. But Jesus Christ got a hold of him, and he is a world evangelist and motivational speaker. He's been to more than 50 countries on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was called and because he believed all things can work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Isaiah said something similar. He said, I am your creator. You were in my care. Underline that. You were in my care even before you were born. We have some kids here who have physical anomalies. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're not beautiful. Maybe you're not powerful. Maybe you're not athletic. Maybe you're not coordinated. And yet some of those are being used on a national stage out of this very church. Because they've trusted in Jesus, he has a calling. There is, yes, use the word, election on their lives. Something's going on. God is at work in them so that an unbelieving world will see life coming out of what should be death. Life coming out of what should be ultimate depression. But they're out there making a difference because of Christ. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. You are not an accident. He is your creator. You are deeply loved because you are in his care. God planned my life before you were born. And you are in his care and love, no matter how you perceive yourself. But the word of God is demanding, calling, crying out to you if you're a believer to tell you that you're special to him. And he can do mighty things through very unmighty people. Number four, and here's a tough one. My sins and mistakes don't change my call. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up your life so far. The guy that's writing most of the stuff we'll read this morning was, without any question, a religious terrorist. He was in unbelief. He knew there was a Messiah coming, but he certainly didn't believe it was Jesus. And he was part of murdering the Lord Jesus' people. He stood at Stephen's stoning, the great deacon and an evangelist of the church, and held the coats of theirs that are throwing rocks at the guy. It's pretty bad, but that wasn't all. He's dragging people out of their homes. He's tormenting them. He's imprisoning them. He is a horror show on wheels. As one said, he was a rude dude in a crude mood. Quite the poet there. By calling me into his service, he says in 1 Timothy, Jesus has judged me trustworthy. Even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and contemptuous, mercy, however, was shown me. Because while I lacked faith, I acted in ignorance. He's saying, I did a lot of dumb stuff, to say the least. Have you done dumb stuff? Do you believe because of what has happened to you from some perpetrator, some wicked person, that you're done and undone? Or have you been the wicked person and the perpetrator that has pulled stuff on yourself that you're ashamed, that's in a closet, that you're scared to even look at, that's just awful? I have good news for you. A religious terrorist was used to rock the world because of the call of God that was on him and a purpose that would not be denied. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And by extension, that says, I have a specific usefulness for you. And the very energy that you have to persecute my people, I will use to glorify my name. He that is forgiven much, and maybe you knew that, I certainly did, is loved much. That's what the Bible says. Called. The expression of your life because of decisions may change. Maybe you'll be like Chuck Colson, counselor to the president, who did things worthy of going to prison, went to prison. Now, he could have just X'd out his life and be done with all of it. I've sinned so greatly, I deserve nothing. And yet he used the springboard of his craziness because Jesus had called him to reach something like 150 or 60 prisons with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be down for the count. Don't look at the cards that have been dealt you and say, what can I do with them? He's doing the work. Just say, let go and let God say. That doesn't mean you do nothing. It says you do the first next thing that God leads you to do and trust him with your future. Because no matter how messed up you are, God's gift and calling, to use the King James Version for a moment, is without repentance. That means it can never be withdrawn. Maybe I won't be pastoring this church or sharing Christ in certain areas because I messed up in some way. But because of Jesus and his mercy and forgiveness, I will be somewhere sharing his gospel and his love and life, because God never gives up on you, and he has said his gifts and his calling are without repentance, cannot be withdrawn. Six, my calling is connected to others. You can't fulfill it by yourself. Calling and community go together. Calling and community go together. None of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself alone, the Bible says. You know, if you cut yourself off from the body of Christ, you're part of that body. And we need you. I need you. Without Diana, Jackie, Marty, you name them, I don't want to name all of them, we would be undone. These are spokespersons for the Lord. The Lord's energy is in these people and all of you. We need all of you to reach our world. Are you content just to sit in a church on Sundays and hear a message? I'm not. And I never will be, and I never have been. There's a lost world out there that God has called us to reach with his love. How do you get your calling and your connection? Through the body of Christ. And if a hand is cut off, if you're the hand, attach it back to the body. Where do you tie in? Hopefully in a small group somewhere. And then you go out of that in power and great glory. We are one body. We have the same spirit, and we've all been called to the same glorious future hope. Brothers and sisters, it says in Hebrews, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. Without any question, we are better together. And God empowers you, number seven, he empowers you when he calls you with what he calls you to do. When God calls you to do something, he equips and enables me to do it. I'm in a little room somewhere, and it's crazy kid, you know, looked a little hippy-dippy, but he was brilliant, and he begins to say something. He says, the Lord has called you to speak to thousands and thousands of people. I was not going to be a minister. Last thing on earth to do. Last thing. I have no way of describing to you, sadly, my disregard for that ministry. But God had a calling. And the issue was forced upon me almost. This was the way. Walk ye in it. I urge you, the Bible says, live the life to which God called you. You remember last week, Mark read this, what is it called? What are those things called? Well, with LEARN, L-E-A-R-N. Acronym, right? Is that right? Yes. Okay. L, How do we grow together? We listen to God's word every day. We enlist friends who challenge us. A, ask questions and accept correction. R, remember and reinforce what I learn. And then N, now do it. You say, Bill, I'm already doing those things. Well, keep doing them and then find some people to do them with. I have had the privilege, this is for you, I hope it's fun. I have been blessed to be the humble observer of many professional athletes. A dear friend of mine, yes, friend of mine, was the captain of Yale University soccer team. He came out, he'd played professionally. He had no idea how to coach. He hadn't grown to that place. His coach did all the thinking for him. But when he came out of that and began to serve other people in coaching, he learned with lightning rapidity. He became more effective. He grew in his walk and his ability to do what God called him and made him for. And he's been a rich blessing to many as an outwardly tremendous witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, this time you ought to be teaching others. I bragged about you. You're very, very bright people. He put us in Clifton for a reason. We got guys upstairs that are geniuses, literally, off the charts. But it's not good enough to have that gift without giving it away. It's Christmas time for this generation and these people we live in. And we have gifts to give. We don't want to give them problems. We want to give them presents. And in a sense, your presence is what they need. Paul said this. This is why we always pray for you. Because we can't do this ourselves. Asking our God to help you live the kind of life he called you to live. We pray with his power God will help you do the things you want and perform the works that come from your faith. The one who calls you is faithful. And here's the key word. And he will do it. The one who called you is faithful and he will do it. And guess what? At the end of the day, there is this. There is a prize for living out my calling. The Apostle Paul said this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what is the prize? It is sharing in God's glory forever. Sharing with him, right now seated with him in the heavenly places, but one day being with him and hearing, I hope, well done. Here's the sharing of the glory, the power, the majesty, the weight of God, the shimmering amazingness of all that he is. And he's glad to say, Phil's my son. This is my boy, Pat. I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of them. They shared in my sufferings, and now they're sharing in my glory. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your father. There's a prize for hearing your calling and being a listener. There's a still small voice that's speaking to you. There's something for you, whether you have arms or legs, no matter whether you've sinned in the past, if you have, or even today, get up, dust yourself off, and run the race that is set before you, enduring the shame for the sake of the cross of Christ. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, I know you've called people in this room, and even now you're calling. You said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and listens to me and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him and he with me. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And the way to let him in and answer the call, and you're responsible now, to answer the call is A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe Christ is the only Savior. And C, choose to follow him. If that is the prayer of your heart, raising the hand inside your heart, say yes to Jesus now. We're not going to use any outward peer pressure or force you down an aisle. Right now, you can make a decision in your heart because God is calling you to make that. He will not hurt you. He will bless you and use you and fulfill what you've always wondered, the purpose for your existence. Lord, come upon this thy people. Forgive our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us into the golden vessels you want us to become. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.